You know that feeling when you wake up, grab your coffee, open up your site analytics, and your stomach just instantly drops.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about, the red line.
Right. You're staring at this jagged blood red line on the monitor, and it is pointing straight down. I mean, your organic traffic hasn't just dipped, it has completely plummeted.
It's terrifying.
It really is. And then, you log into Google Search Console, you navigate over to the security tab, and there it is. A manual action penalty for, quote, unnatural links.
Yeah, that is basically a nightmare scenario for any digital marketer or SEO professional, or, well, really any website owner.
Exactly. It's so
It
scary.
really is the digital equivalent of waking up to find your physical storefront, like totally boarded up overnight with this massive close for business sign slapped on the front door. And I think the absolute worst part for you, as the person managing the site, is that feeling of total powerlessness. I mean, you probably didn't even build those spammy links yourself.
Right, you're just inheriting the mess.
Exactly. But now you're the one paying the price for them. Your revenue is tanking, and, the clock is ticking.
It feels totally out of your control.
Yeah.
But today, we are taking that control back. So our mission for this deep dive is a comprehensive start-to-finish masterclass on link strategy.
Which is so needed right now.
Absolutely. We are diving into a stack of highly advanced technical SEO course materials. And they focus purely on the mechanics of earning, auditing, and when necessary, disavowing backlinks.
It's a really great set of sources.
Yeah. By the end of this conversation, you will know exactly how to manage a backlink profile, like a seasoned technical SEO expert. And to make all these abstract concepts a bit more concrete for you, we're going to use a fictional Southeast Asia travel agency.
Sounds fun.
Let's call them tigertrails.com. They'll be our testing ground for today.
I love that. Tiger Trails is actually the perfect sandbox for this
Yeah.
because the travel vertical is historically one of the most fiercely competitive spaces on the entire internet.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, consider that by 2026, about 65% of global travel gross bookings are made online. That represents a massive $1.2 trillion market.
Wow. Trillion with a T.
Exactly. When you're operating in a trillion-dollar industry, the stakes for your organic visibility simply couldn't be higher. You are fighting for literally every single inch of digital real estate.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the very first step in managing your links is performing a comprehensive audit.
Right. You have to know what you're dealing with.
Exactly. But before we can actually build a strong backlink profile for TigerTrails, we need to know what a bad link actually is. And honestly, reading through these sources, this seems to be where so many people get tripped up right out of the
Oh,
gate. They
absolutely.
get so confused by third-party SEO tools.
That is easily the most common trap. If you're auditing tiretrails.com using standard, highly respected industry tools like Ahrefs or SEMrush, you typically start by exporting a massive CSV file.
Just a giant spreadsheet of your referring domains, right?
Yeah. And then you filter that list for dofollow links, just for anyone who might need a quick refresher. A dofollow link is essentially a link that actively passes SEO value.
What people used to call link juice.
Exactly, link juice. It passes value from one website to another. It's an endorsement. Conversely, a nofollow link basically tells search engines to ignore the connection entirely.
Okay, that makes sense. So you filter for the dofollow links to see who's actually passing equity to you.
Right. But then you look at the tool's dashboard and you see these incredibly alarming bright red metrics.
Yes, you see the dreaded toxicity score. You get this giant red warning that essentially screams, your site is toxic and you're about to lose everything.
And it looks very official, SEMrush, for instance, evaluates every single backlink against over 45 distinct toxic markers.
Wow, 45.
Yeah. They're looking for things like links coming from known link networks or really aggressive spam in blog comment sections. And based on those markers, they assign a toxicity score from 0 to 100. If more than 10% of your total links are flagged as toxic, SEMrush actually classifies your entire backlink portfolio as high risk. Moz has a very similar metric too, called a spam score.
Right, I've seen that.
That one uses 27 different machine learned signals to predict if a site might get penalized.
Okay, but I have to stop you there because here's the big reveal from our sources. These scores, they're not Google metrics, like at all.
No, not even a little bit.
Our refs actually goes on record in their own technical documentation calling toxic backlinks a completely made up term. They say it was invented by SEO tools just to scare you.
It's wild, isn't it?
It is. And Google's own search advocate, John Mueller, has explicitly stated on social media that Google has, quote, no notion of toxic links.
What's fascinating here is the massive disconnect between the mechanisms of what these third-party tools measure versus what Google actually cares about.
Right.
Moz and Semrush, they're measuring the outward characteristics of the linking site. They crawl the web, spot a site that looks sketchy, and flag it based on external patterns.
Just based on how it looks on the surface.
Exactly. But they have zero internal insight into how Google's proprietary algorithm is actually processing that specific link to your site. Or, more likely, how Google is completely ignoring it.
So these tool scores are basically like a neighborhood watch program getting way overly suspicious.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
They're peering through the blinds, taking down the license plates of every rusty car that drives down the street, and flagging the whole neighborhood as high risk. Meanwhile, Google is the actual police, and they might look at that same rusty car and not care at all.
Because it's not actually breaking any laws. To take that police analogy a step further, the actual police aren't just looking at the cosmetic condition of the car.
Right.
They're evaluating the specific behavior of the driver in that exact moment. The neighborhood watch tools are fantastic for manual triage. They help you figure out which dark corners of your backlink profile you might want to shine a flashlight on first.
Sure, just to check things out.
But they are absolutely not the judge and jury. One of the most catastrophic mistakes you can make for Tiger Trails is to blindly download a list of domains that Semrush gave an 80 out of 100 toxicity score to and just automatically block them.
Just nuke them without looking.
Exactly. You might literally be amputating legitimate links that are actively propping up your rankings simply because the linking site looks a little unpolished to a third-party guessing machine.
Oh, wow. Which brings us to a really crucial pivot. If Google isn't automatically penalizing Tiger Trails just because some random, ugly, quote-unquote, toxic domains link to us, what actually triggers the sirens?
That's the million-dollar question.
From what I'm reading in this stack of research, the danger often lies less in who is linking to you and far more in how they are describing you.
Yes. Now we are entering the realm of anchor text.
The clickable words, right?
Exactly. The actual clickable, usually blue words used in the hyperlink itself. This is the exact area where digital marketers actively harm their own sites if they don't understand the underlying mathematics of natural language processing.
Interesting. So what does a good profile look like?
Well, a genuinely healthy natural backlink profile is, frankly, quite boring to look at. The course materials give us very clear benchmarks.
Okay, lay them out for me.
Sure. So 30 to 50% of your links should just be your brand name, like Tiger Trails or tigertrails.com. Another 15 to 25% should be a partial match, maybe something like Travel with Tiger Trails.
Got it. What about the rest?
Then 10 to 20% should be purely generic, you know, click here or read more. And 5 to 15% should just be the naked, raw URL pasted right into a sentence.
And then there's the exact match keyword. This is the holy grail that every client used to chase, right?
Oh, yeah. The obsession with exact match.
Since you've been handling digital marketing for a while, you've probably had clients demanding you get them links that say exactly what they sell. For Tiger Trails, it would be a link where the clickable text is literally cheap Vietnam tours.
Yep. Everyone wants that.
What is the safe percentage for that kind of link?
The threshold is incredibly low, only 1% to 5%.
Wait, really? That low?
That low. If your exact match anchors exceed 10% of your total profile, you cross a major algorithmic tripwire. You officially enter the over-optimization danger zone.
Wow.
This specific footprint is historically associated with Google's Penguin algorithm updates, which, you know, specifically target link spam.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because when you think about it, exact match anchors are completely unnatural in the real world.
They really are.
It's like if you and I were talking about getting lunch, and instead of me just saying, hey, let's go to Torchy's, I turned to you and said, let's go to delicious, budget-friendly tacos, Austin, Texas.
That would be a very weird conversation.
Right. Google's natural language processing systems look at the grammatical syntax of the sentence surrounding that link, and they realize a human being would never organically write that.
Yeah.
It's completely manufactured.
That is the core issue. The algorithm reads that grammatical anomaly as a massive footprint of human manipulation. But here's the critical counterintuitive mechanism that you really have to understand.
Okay, I'm listening.
Let's say we do an anchor text audit for Tiger Trails tomorrow, right? And we find that 14% of their referring domains are using that exact match phrase, cheap Vietnam tours. They're in the red zone.
Uh-oh.
The immediate panic instinct for most SEOs is to round up all those links and use the disavow tool to chop them out of the profile entirely.
Right. Cut out the infection. Just get rid of it.
But you absolutely should not do that. You do not disavow links to solve an anchor text problem.
Really?
Because if those links are coming from decent sites, you are just bleeding out your own authority. The actual fix is that you have to dilute them.
Dilute them. So instead of scooping the salt out of the soup, you just add more water to the pot to balance the flavor.
That perfectly describes the mechanism. You have to change the denominator of the equation. For the next 3 to 6 months, every single new link you actively acquire must strictly use a branded or a partial match anchor.
No exact match at all.
None. If you ask for exact match anchors in your outreach emails during a PR campaign while you are in that danger zone, you are actively self-destructing.
Wow. In fact, directly demanding exact match text is a direct violation of Google's published link spam policies. You just have to dilute and be patient.
How patient? Like, how long does that take?
The data from these technical SEO case studies shows it takes an average of 60 days for your organic rankings to actually recover once that anchor text ratio normalizes, because Google's crawlers need that time to reevaluate your entire shifting link graph. Okay, so we've got the source of the links sorted, and we understand the text of the links. But looking at this next section in the materials, I'm seeing a whole segment on speed.
Yes. Link velocity.
The velocity.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this Aris graph example. And instead of a nice gentle slope of new links over time, there's a massive vertical cliff face, hundreds of links appearing overnight.
It looks like a literal wall on the chart.
It does. My first instinct as a marketer is to celebrate. I mean, like, we just went viral. But based on what you're saying about algorithms, I should actually be terrified right now, shouldn't I?
If we connect this to the bigger picture of how Google operates, it really comes down to an AI system they use called SpamBrain.
SpamBrain, great name.
Right. SpamBrain analyzes billions of links on a daily basis, specifically to find what they term velocity anomalies.
Right, okay, so it's looking for those vertical spikes.
Exactly. And the trigger point for the system is actually quite mathematical. If your monthly count of new referring domains suddenly exceeds twice your site's historical median, SpamBrain flags your site for immediate review. It wants to know why you suddenly got so popular.
We have to push back on that. What if I just ran an incredibly successful digital PR campaign?
Okay, let's say you did.
Let's say Tiger Trails published a groundbreaking study on digital nomads in Bali, and it got picked up by the New York Times, and we genuinely went viral. Is Google really going to penalize me just for being popular?
That is the ultimate diagnostic question. A velocity spike itself is just an alarm bell, right? It's not a conviction.
Okay, so they don't just ban you immediately?
Exactly. When SpamBrain flags the anomaly, the algorithm then deeply analyzes the composition of that spike. If it looks under the hood and sees that those 89 new links in 1 week are coming from domains with the domain rating under 5.
Super low quality sites.
Right. And they all use identical exact match anchors, and they all originate from C-class IP clusters.
Wait, what does that mean, C-class clusters?
It basically means a bunch of fake hollow websites hosted on the exact same server block. If Google sees all that, it instantly knows that's a private blog network or a PBN. It's an artificial spam attack.
Oh, right? A coordinated hit job. Potentially from a competitor trying to sink Tiger Trails.
Precisely. However, if that same spike consists of editorial sites with genuine human organic traffic and they are linking to your Bali study using your brand name, SpamBrain recognizes the behavioral patterns of earned media. It rewards you.
Okay, phew.
But, and this is a massive but, you cannot just rely on an AI algorithm to always get context right or for future SEO auditors you hire to remember what happened. You absolutely must maintain a disavow rationale document.
A rationale document. Like a corporate paper tray.
Yes, and it will save your job. It's usually a shared spreadsheet where you log the exact dates of your PR campaigns and the links earned.
Why is that so important?
Think about it from the perspective of the listener. 2 years from now, when you move on and a new SEO manager takes over Tiger Trails, they are going to see that vertical velocity spike on the historical graph.
Oh, I see.
If you don't have a rationale document explaining that it was a viral PR win, they might mistakenly assume it was a legacy spam attack. They might disavow those links and accidentally delete the best SEO assets the company has ever earned.
Wow, that is such a crucial operational detail. But let's say we do the diagnostics, we check the rationale document, and we confirm that a velocity spike wasn't a PR win. It is a negative SEO attack from a competitor.
It happens more than you'd think.
Or worse, the manual action penalty actually hits Google Search Console. We can't just dilute our way out of this anymore, right? We have to sever the connection entirely.
You have to cut the cord.
Which means it is time to bring out the big guns and master the disavow tool.
The disavow tool is Google's absolute last resort. It is a mechanism that allows you to essentially say to Google, I disown these specific links. Please do not count them toward my site's algorithm evaluation.
Sounds straightforward enough.
You'd think so, but it is incredibly unforgiving if you format it incorrectly. Because you are communicating with a very old legacy parsing system within Google, it requires a strict plaintext.txt file.
So no rich text, no Word documents.
None. And it physically cannot be larger than 2 megabytes or longer than 100,000 lines.
Yeah.
If you break these rules, the system just rejects the whole file.
But the sources say human beings can leave notes in it, right? How does that work in a plain text file?
Ah, yes. Any line in the document that starts with the hashtag symbol is treated as a comment.
Okay, so the hashtag is the secret code.
Right. Google's legacy bots are programmed to completely ignore anything after a hashtag, but it's crucial for your own internal documentation so you can write a note explaining why you are blocking a specific site. But the most vital mechanism you have to master is the syntax you use to actually block the spam. If a malicious network is attacking Tiger Trails, you must use the domain prefix. So you type domain, colon, no space, and then spammydomain.com.
Okay, but what if they are linking to me from 200 different specific pages on their weird spam blog? Why can't I just copy those 200 URLs, paste them in the file, and be done with it?
Because if you just list the 200 individual URLs, you are giving the parser highly literal instructions to ignore only those exact specific pages.
Oh, okay.
If the spammer's automated script generates page 201 tomorrow, or if they have a site-wide link in their footer that spans thousands of pages across their whole site, all of those other links will bypass your block and still hit your site.
Oh, it's devious.
Using the domain prefix acts as an absolute blanket block for the root domain and every single subdomain attached to it. It cuts the head off the snake.
Got it. Okay, but here is the ultimate catastrophic pitfall from the course materials, and I want to make sure I completely understand the mechanics of this.
Sure, lay it on me.
So what does this all mean for the listener? If I log in tomorrow and find 5 brand new bad links, I can't just open a new Notepad file, type in those 5 domain prefixes, and upload it to Google to add them to my block list.
No. If you do that, you will create an absolute disaster for your site. The disavow tool does not append new files to old ones.
It doesn't.
No. Uploading a file to the disavow tool completely 100% replaces the old file. It is a total system wipe.
Wow. It's exactly like a bouncer at an exclusive club.
What do you mean?
Let's say you are the manager, and you have an existing VIP list of 100 people who are permanently banned for causing trouble. If you walk up to the bouncer tonight and hand them a new sheet of paper with just 5 new names of people to ban.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
The bouncer takes it and throws away the old list. Suddenly, those original 100 banned people are walking right past the velvet rope and through the front door.
That is exactly the mechanism at play. All the toxic links you carefully audited and disavowed 3 years ago are instantly reactivated, and they come flooding back into your backlink profile, dragging your rankings down with them.
That sounds like a complete nightmare.
To prevent this, you must always download the existing disavow file from Google Search Console first. Then you merge your new additions into that downloaded document, save it, and re-upload the combined master file.
Download, merge, re-upload. Got it.
And keep in mind, it is not an instant fix. It takes a few weeks for Google to actually process this file because the disavow only takes effect as Googlebot naturally recrawls the web and stumbles upon those blocked links again.
Okay, so you've navigated the crisis, you've played defense, you've nuked the spam, your site is clean. We understand the myth of toxicity scores, we've diluted our exact match anchor text, and we know how to wield the disavow file without shooting ourselves in the foot.
Right, the foundation is solid.
But a clean site doesn't automatically rank number one. You can't win a $1 trillion market just by playing defense. How do we proactively go on offense and earn the high-quality links that actually drive rankings in 2026?
The absolute foundation of modern link earning is a process called competitor backlink gap analysis.
Okay, how did that work?
You use tools like SEMrush or the Ahrefs-Link Intersect tool. What these tools actually do is cross-reference vast databases. You input Tiger Trails, and you input your top 3 competitors.
Hmm.
The tool then calculates what SEMrush calls the best category. It surfaces a list of domains that link to all of your selected competitors, but do not currently link to you.
Oh, that's incredibly smart.
Yeah.
Because you aren't just cold calling random travel bloggers in the dark.
Exactly.
You are finding webmasters who have already raised their hand, linked to your direct rivals, and mathematically proven they have an editorial willingness to link to Southeast Asia travel agencies.
You are fishing in a stocked pond. For Tiger Trails, this surfaces highly specific, high-value targets. We're talking about official tourism board resource pages, like, say, the Tourism Authority of Thailand, which typically have massive domain ratings.
And domain rating, just to be clear, that's the authority score.
Right, that logarithmic scale from 0 to 100 that predicts a site's backlink authority. These government sites are usually between 50 and 80. You also find destination guides in major publications like Lonely Planet or even university.edu travel scholarship pages.
But knowing who to email is only half the battle. You have to actually send the pitch.
Yeah.
And the course materials included some fascinating 2025 data from Cision on digital PR outreach.
Oh, the rejection rates are brutal out there.
Unbelievably brutal. 98% of journalists will reject your pitch if it's over 400 words.
98%.
Yeah. And 86% will reject it immediately if it's considered offbeat from what they normally cover.
And we have to understand why journalists act that way. They aren't just being difficult.
Right, they're busy.
The modern media landscape means journalists are under immense pressure. They're receiving hundreds of pitches a day and trying to hit strict daily content quotas assigned by their editors. If you want to earn a link on a massive DR80 media site, your pitch has to solve a problem for them quickly.
So what are the rules for a good pitch?
First, reference their recent work to prove you actually read their column and aren't just running a mail merge script.
We make it personal.
Yes. Second, offer exclusive, original data that makes them look smart to their editor. Don't pitch a boring product description of your new tour. Pitch a proprietary, visa-free travel matrix for Southeast Asia or a 3-year regional weather analysis.
Oh, data is always a winner.
Always. Third, state your relevance immediately. Okay. And fourth, make one single, simple ask.
And the absolute cardinal rule of digital PR, never, ever use the word backlink in the email pitch.
Never. The moment you ask for a backlink, you stop being a helpful industry source and you become an annoying marketer asking for a free advertisement.
That makes total sense.
Yeah. You are offering a valuable data resource to their readers. The link is just the natural journalistic citation for that data. And as a marketer, you have to manage your own expectations regarding the timeline.
It takes a while, doesn't it?
Yes. The data shows that even when a journalist loves your pitch and accepts it, those first editorial placements usually take 2 to 3 weeks to actually go live through their editorial calendars.
It is so incredibly interesting to me how deeply human this entire process is at the highest level.
It really is.
I mean, we started this deep dive talking about cold AI algorithms,
yeah,
spam brain, machine learning toxicity scores, and parsing syntax. But when you want to actually win and grow your business in a massive market like online travel, it's not about tricking an algorithm.
No, not at all.
It's about digital networking. It's about empathy. It's about providing genuine journalistic value to another human being who is just trying to write a good story before their 5 p.m. deadline.
That really is the ultimate paradox of technical SEO. You have to use deeply technical mathematical tools to identify the gaps in your strategy, but you have to use deeply human empathy to actually close them.
Okay, let's bring this all together for everyone listening. If there are a few core things you take away from this masterclass to apply to your own site audits tomorrow morning, it's this.
Listen up, folks.
First, don't panic over tool-generated toxicity scores. Google's algorithm doesn't use them, so don't amputate good links based on a third-party guess. Second, keep a microscope on your anchor text. Keep those exact match keywords under 5%, and if you go over, dilute the pool. Don't drain it.
Crucial point right there.
Third, document your link velocity spikes in a rationale spreadsheet so future you knows what actually happened. Fourth, when you do face a real penalty and use the disavow tool, always merge your new links into the old file and strictly use that domain prefix.
Download, merge, re-upload.
Exactly. And finally, when you're pitching journalists to build real authority, bring exclusive data, keep your email under 400 words, and never demand a backlink.
This raises an important question, though, as we look to the future of this industry. We talked a lot about domain rating and raw authority today.
We did.
But as AI search engines like Google's SpamBrain get infinitely better at understanding the true semantic context and grammatical nuance of a web page, will the raw authority of a linking domain eventually matter less than the actual sentence surrounding the link?
Oh, wow.
Is the future of link building actually just excellent PR and storytelling?
Wow. That is definitely something to chew on. If the algorithm truly understands context and human intent, a highly relevant, deeply contextual link from a small, passionate travel blog might one day completely outweigh a generic shoehorned link from a massive media conglomerate.
It could change everything.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Hopefully the next time you wake up and check your site analytics, you won't see that terrifying red line pointing down. But if you ever do face the nightmare of an unnatural links penalty, you now have the exact blueprint to diagnose it, clean it up, and build back stronger than ever. See you next time.